are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
After Show.
Yes, that's right. Thank you for sticking around. For those of you who just listened to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show, this is the Double Dosage After Show. And I don't know. I think we're having a little bit of technical issues here. We need to be able to have Bill speak into the mic. Can we test 1 2 1 2 real quick?
Testing 1 2 1 2 1 2 is okay.
Okay, you're not punching the mic. That sounds good. That sounds
all right,
good.
I'm good.
Do we still have our guest here with us, Christopher? You here?
Oh yeah. Check 1 2.
1 2. All right. And of course, we're bringing in Melvin Punch to join us on the show.
Check. 1 2 1 2. How you doing?
Oh, sounding like a Harlem Warrior.
Yes, sir. I thoroughly enjoyed your show tonight, as always. It's very informative, and I had a big smirk on my face when you guys were talking about this Amy Chiron, the daughter of a famous songwriter. Would she be the subject of the song of My Sharona? My Sharona.
See, no, I do not know. Yeah, you got me there.
but B, you know, when you said that she tackled you and sexually harassed you, I mean, my God, I mean, you're a big guy, so if...
No. That was not Amy Schroen.
This was
a troll by the name of Sean Nichols.
I see.
Yeah, I'm gonna put her out there. Yeah, she deserves anything that comes her way from what she did. Wanted by the police, several states, always, at all times. She's a felon.
You know, it's just a tragedy that when you have someone who goes into a movement or an organization with the best of intentions, well, the people that are, you know, thoroughly embedded in this these movements, that they thoroughly believe that they're doing something that's the right thing to do. And then you have these trolls that come in and looking for a personal gain, or, you know, it's just a travesty. And Mr. Christopher the Living Man, I was a guest on your show about 2 months ago.
Yeah.
We did an interview with me. Yes, we spoke and for an hour. And I don't think you really agreed with some of the subjects that I broached. It was basically about the CPS system and, you know, the wrongful taking of the children. And I know that you're a dedicated advocate for those causes, and you know, your show has enlightened many, many individuals. And I want to thank you for your efforts in the movement.
Thank you.
And, but yes, sir, we have talked, and I want to give my shout out to Mr. Bill the Butcher, because, he always comes on point with the most, informative information, and, you know, his anecdotes are always, you know, yes, very enlightening.
Always.
Okay, so the topic is troublesome activists.
Yeah.
Women and women. You know, and I want to just expose on a point that you brought up, that a lot of the women that are in the movement that have been damaged by the wrongfulness of the CPS system have their children taken from them. It is quite a traumatic loss for a mother. You know, she has the child in her womb for 9 full months, and, you know, then to have the child snatched sometimes at birth. I mean, there's really nothing that
my wife had her taken at 9 days old. So, yeah.
So sorry. You know, there's nothing to compare, nothing that a man can really compare to that sort of loss. I mean, we can lose our house to a foreclosure. We can lose our job. We can lose our car. But to lose a child that, you know, that was conceived inside your womb and it's a part of you, your DNA, and to have them snatched from you like that, it has to be a life-changing event. Similar to a woman that I've been with. I've been around individuals, females, who decided that they wanted to terminate a pregnancy. And the sense of loss that the woman, even though for whatever the reason, if it, you know, it wasn't the right time or the child was conceived in it, you know, an act of violence or whatever the case may be, but the loss that that woman feels when that child is ripped from her womb like that has to be similar to what most women experience when they have their children taken from them by this unjust CPS and DCF system. It's just, it's horrendous. It's a horrendous, horrendous crime. Crime against humanity, in my opinion.
Yes, sir. I agree.
But what are we going to do, folks? You know,
so we have to vet these people. We have to, you know, you got to, you know, time is of the essence. I understand that, you know, when a movement is moving, it's moving.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I've heard, you know, for example, John Bolenbaugh, a big oil activist, okay, he had an infiltrator befriend him, come in and almost sabotage his documentary as the guy stole some footage. You know, later on we find out this guy was connected to Bush. You know, president, ex-president, connected to his family, and it was just disgusting how this guy came through and pretended to be a friend and then destroyed everything. So what do we do to vet these people?
Well, you know, the cream always rises to the top, and the diehard advocates that are in this movement for the right reasons, not like the Francesca Amados who are in there for personal gain, or the Amy Sharones who are in there for whatever the reason. Mr. Butcher, when you made the statement about Ms. Sharone taking a crap on your front lawn, that's the second time that you've mentioned an individual doing that. They just like to take crap on your front lawn, don't they? What is that all about, sir? Is that a statement? They want to leave something to for you to remember them by?
I think there's something Freudian about that. I think there's a Freudian slip there.
It could be. But
well, did you tell them that you were into blues and jazz?
I don't even know. I don't even know who did that the last time. I know Amy did it and everything. But like the gentleman just said and everything, I'm now wondering, what is it that wants them to smear poo all over me? You know, maybe it's what I write. I don't know.
Well, you know, guys, I gotta tell you about somebody else. There was another gal that was online. Her name was Jill Garrett. Now, Jill Garrett was from 4 or 5 years ago, and she was supposedly this huge activist, and she was all respected by women everywhere, and everybody always listened to Jill Garrett, and I immediately saw something in her that I just didn't like. And it took to me big time, and I kept looking into it. And pretty soon I just figured out she was just working for the government. And it stuck in my gut. It stuck in my head. And I'm one of those kind of people that can see a bad egg coming 5 miles down the road. And I just, there was something about her that didn't quite click. And I kept digging into it, and I figured out she was an agent of some sort. I don't know what kind of government thing she was into, but it just came into my head one day, and I started calling her out. And pretty soon, she had sent me this threatening email, and it was really threatening. I mean, it was really bad. And less than 20 minutes later, I'd called the police, and I sent her an email saying, I've forwarded your email to my printer, and I've printed it out, and I'm fixing to give it to the police. And in less than 5 minutes, that email had disappeared off of my incoming box. Now, I'm sorry, but there is nobody on this planet that can take and reach into your email and take an email out. It has
I have been through the same experience that you had, sir. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. And what do you know, the woman just disappeared off the face of the earth after I called her out on that one. And I was like, what woman could remove an email, what anybody could remove an email from your inbox and just, you know, it's not there anymore. Gee, it was just there a minute ago, and I looked at it, and I printed it off, and here's my printout, and I copied it off, and I put it up online so everybody could see it. And next thing you know, the woman just disappeared off the face of the planet. I haven't seen her since. Yeah.
You know, that's quite unusual. To have that type of power, that is definitely unusual. But, you know, it just has something to say about, you know, what we're doing, gentlemen. We must be doing something right if the government is trying to insert these individuals into this organization. I'm a student of history. And I've found that in the past civil rights movement of the 60s and even, you know, prior to those when they're trying to initiate drastic social change, the government is not something that is going to go along with that. They like the way things are going as they are now. And they're going to insert these individuals in there and try to disrupt and spread lies and disinformation and just try to do whatever they can to disrupt our forward momentum. But we can't let that happen, folks, because we have right on our side, and we will prevail. We will overcome.
I agree.
Yes, sir. But, you know, the thing that I find that's most troublesome is that the CPS system itself is practically dominated by women. The supervisors are women, the area directors are women, the social workers mostly are women. And you have these women that are victimizing other women, right? You're removing their children from them. And so you have basically war of the worlds, the women against women. And it's, you know, we're standing on the sidelines and we're trying to guide this thing and trying to direct it to, you know, a certain outcome. But I don't know. The information that I've always gleaned from, I'm a student of history, and behind every great man, there's a woman, a great woman. Napoleon had his, whatever his wife's name was, and, you know, George Washington had Martha, but women are basically essential. They're vital to what we're trying to accomplish. We cannot move forward without strong women in this movement. And that's what I have to say. That's my personal opinion about it.
Yep. Well, and you bring up an excellent point, something I've never gotten around to, but yes, these women that come into the homes and steal your children, the modern day, I guess, sort of succubus.
Yes.
You know, they want to destroy your children and emasculate your man, this sort of thing. So yeah, this is, it's very devious. It's very sick that they can corrupt other women, turn them against their own nature,
yes,
being mothering. Either that or convince them that what they're doing is motherly, is still corrupting the whole idea of motherhood and family, and getting them to think that they're actually doing something good. It's profound.
They know they're not. That? They know they're not doing anything good, because every study, every Harvard study, and survey that's been done has shown that the removal of these children from their homes is detrimental to the well-being of these children. It's detrimental to their group, I mean, to their growth. It's detrimental to their bonding of, you know, with their family members. They lose that tie to, you know, the historical, sometimes the oral history that the family members passed down through generations after generations. And all of that is cut. All those ties are cut. And these children are growing up feeling that they've been abandoned, that they're unloved, that they're, you know, they have no family. And then they're just thrust upon society with all this angst inside of them. And it cannot lead to a good effect. It's not going to be beneficial to our democracy. It's not going to help us as a civilization. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Well, you've got this thing too. And V, let me know where I'm coming through clear. I've got the microphone right now. My family has a history. We came here from Alabama and Tennessee in 1872 after the Civil War with my ancestor Silas Witt, and we settled the town of Moody. Those things my grandchildren need to know. They need to know who they are. Also, the other branch of the family went to Utah with Brigham Young and with Porter Rockwell, who is another one of my ancestors, direct ancestors, bloodline, okay? They need to know this. You can't break this off. You've got to let people know where they come from, who they are. Your thoughts, right?
Yes, sir, absolutely, because the oral history is vital. You know, they discounted that for a lot of years, that oral history was not something that was, like, vital to the growth and development of children and families, but it actually, they found out that it is. And these children, I'm not going to speak culturally, I'm not going to speak racially, but, you know, there's certain groups in this country that have shared experience. Native Americans, they have shared experiences with their families being separated based on the American viewpoint at that point, at that time in history, that they needed to be Americanized and indoctrinated into the American way of being. They needed to be farmers, not hunter-gatherers, or whatever the case may be. And then we have the history of the children being separated during the dark history of slavery in this country, that African-American children were separated from their parents and they were sold down the river, and they never had any ties to their you know, their tribes or their language or anything like that. But today, fast forward to today, you know, my parents, you know, speaking personally, you know, we come from a proud Native American history, African American history. I have Irish in me, so I'm a regular melting pot. But I would like to instill in my children that oral history that's been passed down to me by my parents and my grandparents. And it gives them something to hold on to latch on to, some pride in their past ancestors and history like that. You know, we need that. Exactly. Can that be erased?
That's exactly right. Like when I talk to my grandchildren up in Utah, and we talk about Porter Rockwell and everything, and they look at his picture with the hair down to his shoulders and everything, and they want to know who he was, what he was, and everything. And we tell them, this is your ancestor. This is your great-great-grandfather. This is the real person. This is, you know, this is who you are.
It gives them a sense of pride. Yes, sir.
And just like with people with African-American history, this is who you are.
The continuity.
When CPS gets involved, they destroy all that. They break it up, and that's not right.
No, sir.
Well, and that's their purpose, in my opinion. I mean, you know, one of the things that I've noticed when you're talking about this is almost 90% of the children that get taken are given to complete strangers. And one of the things that, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the name Max Egan, that Max Egan, to me, is one of the greater thinkers of our time. I love the man. I think he's real. I think he's no government chill. He's just a really good thinker. And the guy just, he comes up with some stuff that just blows me away most of the time. One of his, probably one of his most infamous episodes was called Everything is a Lie. And when you listen to that particular episode, one of the things that he makes very clear is that governments are trying to destroy people's histories. They're trying to disconnect people from what and who they are and who they were and what their traditions and their you know, their ancient ways and God knows what else. They're trying to disconnect people from their history.
Christopher,
and that sounds very familiar.
That's absolutely right. And what people, what you need to realize, and what Melvin Punch just said, and something I've said on the show numerous times, is yes, how they got black slaves in line was to separate the children from the parents, so they didn't learn anything about their culture, you know, family name, language, history, etc., to become a dead race.
Yep.
Now, if you can see that happening to everyone in America and pretty much the underclass around the world, then that should translate directly. That's transitive properties here. The government's trying to tell you that you are now a slave.
Yes. Facts, V. But, you know, they want to rob people of their sense of pride, their sense of ancestry, their sense in, you know, being proud of what their ancestors went through to enable them to get to where they're at so they can take it to the next level. There is an organized movement around the globe by these elitists to disrupt the family unit, which is the core unit. The family unit is the
strength of any great
government, before countries, before states, before villages. It comes down to a family, a mother, a father, and their children being raised out, you know, in 1800s in the wilderness out there, Indian country, wherever they were at. But they survived as a family unit, and the families combined with other families to make a town, and then they made a city, then they made a state, and they made this great country of ours and the world that we exist in now. But these elitists know that that is the strength that everyone falls back on. We fall back on our, you know, heritage, the things that we are proud of, that our ancestors went through, the battles that they fought and that they won, and they're trying to stop that dead in its tracks. We can't let them, folks. We can't let them do this.
Yeah, yeah, and that the family is the strength of any great nation, and that's been said many, many times.
Absolutely, sir. And, you know, Mr. Butcher, you mentioned Fort Hood in Texas. I want to give a shout out to the Fort Hood soldiers out there, representing on the front lines of democracy and freedom, Fort Hood. God bless you all. I'll just...
Yeah, Fort Hood, all the way. That's why I frequently on each show, I ask people about this virus thing. Look around you, what's happening around you right now, and try to get people to come to their senses on this. And something else I'd like to say on this family thing is I've had to, and this has been a thing I've had to do with my grandchildren. I've had to teach them about their heritage. I've had to teach them about Porter. They clean the dishes in their backyard, in their orchard, that Porter and the people dug to water the orchard and everything. And what these people went through. And Kyler and his bunch over there didn't want to hear this, but when you see the stories of the Mormons coming over the Wasatch Mountains, and you imagine it's a bunch of grown people with covered wagons. It's not that. It wasn't that. It was people with wheelbarrows and young girls who were coming over there, and Brother Brigham Young said, you know, I want you to get a town between the three sisters, which is three jets of rock out of the Wasatch, and the Salt Lake City, and build me a city there. And these are the people we come from, and these children need to know this is who you are. This is where you come from.
Absolutely. You're not going to read that in a history book. The oral history that's passed down from the grandparents to the parents, from the parents to the children, that is essential. That gives the children, it grounds them into the sense of, you know, what's important, the values, and the things that they have to take the battle and move it forward. And, you know, I give props to the Mormons and Brigham Young, and, you know, he's been characterized as being a, I don't know, a prophet of God. He's been, you know, exemplified as being someone who was actually, you know, I don't know, a prophet of God. You know, God sends the people to, he always sends individuals to those who are most oppressed, the ones that are in the most dire straits. He sent Moses to the Jews. He sent Jesus to the Christians. He's, and, you know, I don't know, Mother Teresa, Brigham Young, all these individuals who have come to the masses when they are in most dire straits and enlighten them. And these, I guess God speaks through these individuals. I don't know. I'm not a very religious person, but I do know my history.
Yep.
Well, what you're saying, what you, hold, let me get this thing up my face so I don't mess up these things. What I'm saying is, when you go up there and you're in like Brigham City, and you look at those mountains, and then you go down to the Gristmill, which is a little local store where you buy pastries and stuff like that, and you meet these people, and you realize who they are, and you realize what they went through to found that city.
Yes.
And what you said is exactly right. They sent the best man. They sent the best man.
The best man.
One of Brigham Young's sayings that I always adhere to, and nobody understands it. You know, somebody came to him one time and said, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And he said, and I'll go with that, but I do take a little myself. Because he had a people to preserve. And you cannot drive from Salt Lake City on Interstate 15 all the way up to Brigham and look at the industry that's there and not know that these people worked their tails off to build that place.
They couldn't have done it without God's help. Absolutely not. So,
well, see, now I don't feel so bad when I tell people that, yeah, vengeance may be the Lord's, but I'm the Lord's right hand.
Uh-oh, there you go. You go, boy.
I don't feel so bad now. All right, so I know we're coming up on a break here. I want to make sure that people have the option, and I don't always pay attention to the chat here, but if we get some callers on the line, we'll talk. So, again, the phone number is 800-313-9443. This is the after show. I want to make sure that we get all of, you know, the information out, what Christopher's doing. Well, he's still here on the line, right? Because I think he may be having some difficulties there. But we're going to go ahead and ease our way into commercial break, station ID, whatever you want to call it. And we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
T- Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right. This is Double Dosage After Show. All right, so yeah, now that JMA is not, JMA's been a little bit busy, a little preoccupied. I'm a little bit disappointed with that, but I want to hear a little bit more from. I want to hear some, playing devil's advocate, but she pretty much agreed with us the whole way. So we had a female's perspective on what we're saying. We weren't just female bashing, as I promised that we wouldn't. But this is a very serious thing, and the men and how men get caught up in this. You know, they say chivalry is dead. Well, okay, whose joke was that? Was that Chris Rock's joke? Chivalry's dead because you killed it?
My God.
I mean, I try to be chivalrous. I'm that guy, yes, I will walk on the side of the curb next to you where I'm closer to the cars. You know, I'll pick you up and carry you over a puddle. I'm that guy. But you scam artists out there that use and manipulate men and use us like beasts of burden. I mean, that's a little too far.
I agree
and all
with you.
These same people actually want to talk about, you know, equality and feminism, and they want to have their cake and eat it too. Those are people I don't like the most.
But, you know, I have to say, I have to chime in on this.
Go ahead.
There are a lot of, you know, diehard activists that's in this cause, the family rights movement. I can name a few names of, you know, there's Pamela Olson, and there's Agatha Thomas, and there's a few other prominent women who are out there on the front lines, and they are totally dedicated to this cause 100% because they know, you know, as women that, you know, either they're mothers or they're not, but the loss that a mother would feel when a child is ripped from their arms like that by a system that is designed just basically for profit. But this movement would not be half of what it is if it wasn't for the strong-willed women who are on the front lines out there putting the information out there. And these women are like 100% like dedicated to the cause, and they were trying to change this system for the betterment. Now, I'm not saying that we need to revamp or just get rid of the child protective service system as a whole. We do need some system in place that will protect children who have. We read the accounts in the news all the time about the children that are being abused, neglected, and God forbid, sometimes murdered. And these women that I'm speaking of, the diehard advocates, Tony Triano, and there's a few others out there that maybe they have not experienced the loss of a child through this foul system, but they're out there battling every single day to try to change this system and revamp it. We do need a system in place that would protect these children. But in my opinion, the only one that should actually be able to investigate an allegation of child abuse or child neglect should be a police officer. Not to say that they're trained in the aspects of the law, that they are so totally knowledgeable that they can discern between you know, truth and falsehood, but only a police officer who has been sworn in the process of investigating these sorts of crimes should be the one to make the determination if a child should be removed from a parent. And in my personal opinion, a child should be removed if the parent is charged criminally with abuse or neglect of the child. Yes,
you're black, I'm black. I know growing up, you see a police officer, you already know it's not a good omen. That's the black cat crossing the road. You see a police officer. So...
Yeah.
That's why they have to create this whole other, you know, pretend to be wet nurse system. You know,
yes, sir.
These people to invade the homes. Oh, I'm here for you. I care about you. I'm going to get you over the rainbow.
Yes, sir.
And so they have to create that because the police have already screwed themselves as far as any issues like this. Besides, the police are too busy. They have to make that quota. They got to get that revenue.
I'd rather have a police officer come in and actually charge a parent, put him in handcuffs, take him to the county jail, and lock them up for a charge of abuse or neglect of a child than have a social worker who is only working for their incentive for how many children that they take. If this child is adopted, they get a bonus. If this child is taken into custody, they get a bonus. These social workers, their concepts and their belief systems are misconstrued, and a lot of them are women, but they are in it for the money. They're not in it for the betterment of the children, and it's going to come back and bite them in the butts. In the butts.
Yeah. Well, and it's important to state that, you know, almost every case that I've heard of in recent years has never involved a charge of any sort.
No.
Absolutely. And I'm one of those people. I said, if there's really neglect going on here, I would like to be charged with neglect.
Yes, sir.
And I
absolutely
would like you to prove that neglect. But no, of course,
yes,
there was never any of that.
No, because these social workers, they go on the premise that they have concerns. I have concerns because they have dirty dishes, or they haven't changed the litter box in the last 3 days. They walk through your home, they're coming to your house, and they're acting under the color of authority, like they are representing a governmental agency, when most people that are in the know do understand that Child Protective Services is a private organization acting in the capacity of
just
a
like
government
any
agency.
Other government agency.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you like to have that power? Wouldn't you like to do that? You know, like, you know, half of my paycheck is missing every 2 weeks, every month because of taxes. Mm. You know, I have my concerns. This, I have too many potholes in my street that are just never going to be fixed. I have my concerns because these schools are underfunded and these kids are not on the intellectual level where they should be as in a first world nation. I have my concerns. Maybe I should just roll up in your office and start looking through your paperwork. That's what we as people need to start doing.
You know, sir, but you know, the tragedy of it all is that they're ripping apart families. They're damaging these children. These are our future generation of leaders. They're our future senators, governors, presidents, and, you know, lawmakers. These individuals are being damaged psychologically. They're being estranged from the only family that they've ever known. They're being placed with strangers who are being incentivized to take care of them. Now with this, I know you don't want to revamp the coronavirus situation, but there are a lot of parents in America who have not had any contact with their children for the past 2 months. The courts are closed down. The Child Protective Services offices are closed down where you can't actually visit your children, even though it was only for 1 hour per week. But that has been erased. The reunification process through the court system has been erased because the courts are closed down. The services that they're requiring parents to take are being closed down. But they're releasing convicted felons from prison because of the coronavirus scare in the prison system. But what about our children? What about our quarter of a million American children that are in this system now, coming in contact with CPS workers and lawyers and social workers and, you know, all these other individuals that are coming in contact with our children, and no parent has been criminally charged? But their children are still in this baby jail. They're in this.
Well, let me add on top of that, too. Yes, these people being let out of jail, let out of the prisons, and
let children come
and
home.
There are concerns about riots, and the front of the stores are being broken in and being looted for the toilet paper, and but yet they're letting criminals out. Oh, it's chaos, everybody. You know, there is this, and very quickly, I'll add this in here. One of my favorite movies, Drunken Master 2, with Jackie Chan.
A karate flick. I know that one.
Yeah, so he loses this ginseng, and he puts this ginseng in with the, cargo of these rich people that are on this train. And he has to go and try to get it back. And so he does this subterfuge, like he's, just some guy that's rolling through the train cart, and he lets off a whole bunch of chickens. And all these white people in this rich train, and in this rich car, is just, oh, what's going on here? Ooh. And, you know, he's making his way through as everybody's distracted and going to his objective.
Good for him.
That's what I see going on with the world right now, with the country, especially with this coronavirus stuff. They're just doing any and everything behind the scenes and in front of us, and we can't do anything about it, even if you can see what it is that they're doing.
Yes, but if they're so concerned about convicted criminals, why aren't they concerned about our innocent children? Our children, how many, at the end of this thing, 6 months from now, when they do a tally of how many children have been infected by the coronavirus that have been in DCF care or CPS care,
And how many children have actually died as a result of this 6 months after that? Are those tallies going to justify their actions by keeping these children away from their parents who would protect them, keep them isolated, and keep them away from individuals who may infect them? Are they going to say, oh, I'm sorry about the deaths and I'm sorry about the loss of your children? How is this going to cost us as a country with the lawsuits? And there's already class action lawsuits being planned because the parents not being able to have access to their children. It's going to cost us billions and billions of dollars. It's going to be a drain on our economy in addition to the drain that's already occurring in our economy because of the fact that the businesses are closed, that people are not able to go to work, that they're not able to pay their mortgages. The one good thing that I've surmised that's come out of all this thing is that, I've always had a subpar credit score, but now everybody has a subpar credit score. Nobody's paying their credit card bills or their rents or their. So in 3 months from now, everybody's credit score is probably going to be as bad as mine, 500. So what are you going to do now? You're going to have to revamp the whole system. Now, the people that are applying for loans or small business or this or that, because the credit scores are no longer valid. So what are you going to use as a new criteria? But getting back to the children, these children.
Well, there won't be new criteria because that
it has to be
police state. No, because that is the police state now. You are now going to be treated as a slave and you are going to obey as a slave.
So everybody's going to have bad credit. So the guys that were walking around bragging about 900 credit scores, now that your credit score is 500, what are you going to do now, buddy? Everybody's credit score is going to be screwed.
And it's going to be that person with the money, and then that person with the money is going to be a part of the system because they're going to have a chip in their hand. That person's not going to be able to speak out.
Me personally, I own two properties here in beautiful Worcester, Massachusetts. I have like $600,000 worth of real estate that I own. I have like close to $300,000 in equity in both of these properties. But because my credit score is 500, I cannot access those funds. So now that everybody in America is in the same boat that I am in, so now am I going to be looked at more favorably? I mean, what are they going to do now? Some insight from our panelists? Credit score is no longer valid.
Credit score. I resigned to the idea, okay, I'm black. I'm just not going to have the same shake as everybody else. I'm just going to do everything cash in hand and just do everything, have everything paid up. I've had a car payment once, and that was just because I had an accident. It wasn't my fault. And basically, I needed a car to get back and forth to work and have time to shop for a car. So, but anyways, I'm a buy everything cash, buy everything now, no payment sort of guy.
That's
being a black man. My friends were getting, back in high school, but back in, when I was 17, 18, all my white friends got credit card offers in the mail. I did not.
You didn't?
No, I did not. No, so all my white friends had their credit cards. I actually called up a bank. It's like, hey, where's my credit card offers? Why am I not
getting? That didn't work out too well for you.
Why am I? I asked them, why am I not getting junk mail? Why? What's going on here? Oh well, who are you? Oh, well, if you give us $500, we'll give you $500 credit card. What's the difference between that and a debit card?
Not much.
Oh, well, it'll build your credit when you're paying on it. Yeah, go F yourself.
Yeah, but if I have $250,000 in equity in two properties that I own a certain amount on, and then I should have access to those funds, but because my credit score was in the toilet and I can't,
So now that everybody in America is in the same toilet that I am in, so I guess that would improve my chances or not?
It's just going to make you, again, a slave like everybody else, I think.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs. Sad state of affairs. But, you know, now that we've at this supposedly the peak of this corona epidemic, pandemic or fandemic or whatever the heck you want to call it. I'm sorry?
Plandemic.
Yes. That's the word I was looking for.
That's what we're calling it. That is what
yes,
we're calling it.
Yes, sir. It's a plan. But, you know, there's a lot of things that's going on behind the scenes. People need to be aware of the legislation that's being passed. While we're so focused on what's in front of us, what they're trying to do behind behind closed doors, I understand that there's been an addition to NAFTA where President Trump just signed a law that combined Canada, the United States, and Mexico into basically a European Union type scenario where this is supposed to be like a free trade thing between all three countries. It's very little fanfare. Very few people are aware of the fact that President Trump has expanded on the NAFTA thing and has taken it to another level that most Americans are not aware of. And so we'll see how that pans out in our future. But it's just a sad state of affairs. And there's more of us than there are of them. And it's in the Constitution that if we don't abide by the way that we're being governed by this country of our elected officials, then we have the right to change it either through our electorate or by force of arms. And Mr. Butcher down in Texas, you know exactly what I'm talking about, that, you know, you Texans have always led the way from the Alamo to, you know, modern times when there's been injustice in this country. And
hey, sir, you guys have been at the forefront.
Dude,
we're just going to succeed and be done with you Americans, okay?
Well, you know, we all can't just succeed because, you know, a house divided against itself cannot stand. So if we're trying to build a greater America for our descendants, you know, we have to have something that we leave to them, something that they can build on, then we have to make this thing better. We not tear it down, not make it worse, sir. So in my opinion, I want to see the American dream or the American scream, the American dream or the American nightmare go on for like the Roman Empire, like for 1,000 years, or I don't know. That's what Adolf Hitler envisioned, the Reich, which was going to last for 1,000 years. But that didn't happen. But it seems that a lot of the protocols and CPS, from my understanding of history, originated with Adolf Hitler and the Third Reich in Nazi Germany in the 1940s. A lot of the protocols that they're following now are the same ones that he established back in when he ascended to power. So it's
That's right, folks.
After
World War II, guess who became the next Nazi Germany? Well, the United States of America, whether you like it or not. I don't care who I'm pissing off by saying that.
That's the absolute truth.
Project Paperclip, people. Look up Project Paperclip. We grabbed all the Nazi scientists.
Yes, sir.
And not just the Nazi scientists. There were some other defectors and people of influence.
Yes. The CIA was padded with the guys from the German intelligence agency, the Gestapo, and all of those guys that were high-ranking Gestapo officers. They padded them. They put them right into the CIA. They assimilated them right into our culture, and it was like we were in lockstep. Sad to say, you know, America is the greatest country on earth. We're the last democracy, the bastion of freedom. You know, when I'm a historian, and you know, I think about what our, you know,
forefathers went through in Korea and World War II, even Vietnam and, you know, Civil War. And we've always been like the leaders of the free world. But now there's been some votes in the European Union and some other places that are trying to replace America as the leader of the free world. I don't agree with that, but I don't know. I don't know, folks.
You know, sometimes you've got to destroy to rebuild. You've got try. You got to get a second opinion. You got to try another option. It's too corrupt. The system is too corrupt.
Bro, America is all I have. You know, I'm a transplanted African from, you know, I have Native American, Irish American, and, you know, African in me. So I'm the regular melting pot. I am the epitome of the American scream and American nightmare. But I believe in this country, and I believe in the greatness of this country. And I know that in dire times, Americans have always, you know, bonded together and have overcome adversity. And this country has always come out greater than it was when we started, whatever the tragedy was. So I hope, hopefully, that we will be able to accomplish the same thing in this era, in my lifetime. God bless America.
You know, I would say definitely God help America.
Yes, sir.
America, the corporation, has been made into a, and you guys are not going to like this, been made into a religion.
I'm with him. God bless America.
Yes, sir.
Well, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. So, in order to be blessed, you need to start blessing yourselves. You need to start standing up. You need to start doing for yourselves. You need to start blessing other people. And that means helping other activists. Well, we're going to wrap this around, helping other activists. And don't be a psychopath, crazy person trying to make a living off of activists, unless you're all growing together at the same time. So, got to end the show. I want to thank everyone for listening, and hey, catch us tomorrow night.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Broadcasting Network late night premiere show Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.